For he's always glad when everything's bad, cause then his collections are good, 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 good. His nose knows no pathway of roses, no flowers that bloom in the spring. For it's catch as catch can for the scavenger man. Posterity, where is thy? All right, we're done.
That was so good, man.
Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9 here at Dev Intersections in Las Vegas.
In Vegas.
It's fantastic. You've had like a full slate of workshops and talks, and you have a talk after this. Tell us a little bit. Well, introduce yourself and then tell us about your talks.
Oh, that's not important. We'll just go right to the talks.
No!
Yeah, I'm Dan Wallin. I run a consulting company based in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of just talking about my love of weather that's not rainy.
And, yeah, here's good for you in Vegas.
Here's good. It's like 82, and yeah, it's good here. But yeah, we kind of specialize in pretty much all things web. Nowadays, so everything from ASP.NET to Node to TypeScript to whatever we want to do.
One of the cool things about having you, Dan, is that I was telling before, I have been making demoware for literally like 5, 6, 7, 8 years of my career. You actually make stuff that people use, and there's like a feeling, at least for me, of there are certain nuggets of sort of information that you get along the way that I'm just not going to get. So I'm glad to have. Tell us about this, some of the stuff that you've been talking about here.
We did, so yeah, John Papa and I did some workshops. Mm-hmm. We did TypeScript ES6, mm-hmm. and that was actually really fun. We had, it was a Saturday, and surprisingly had a great turnout for, sure. you know, a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, weekend in Vegas, yeah. you don't really think about going to a workshop.
Right.
And then, yeah, Sunday we did Angular 1/Angular 2, which mm-hmm. also had some TypeScript stuff. And then yesterday we did a full day ASP.NET 5, which I'm loving where that's going. So
it is a departure. So let's get into each one of those things because I want to get your take on ASP.NET 5. But at the end, JavaScript is kind of like taking over things right now.
It's kind of crazy.
And as like me, maybe I'm like the old curmudgeon-y type C# dev. I need to take a serious look at transitioning over. What is that experience like? Is that something that you did? Is that
I mean, we all go through it, right? Yeah. I think it, number one, yeah, it can be a little challenging, especially if you're, we were working with a group, for instance, at a particular credit card company recently who you would know, but they're a big Java shop.
Sure.
And there's another group we're working with, big C#. In fact, I just talked with another guy. He has a whole team of C# developers, and they just inherited some JavaScript folks.
Oh, no.
So now they're trying to merge the worlds. Yeah. And so far, I guess it's been challenging.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing that if you're hitting the JavaScript stuff now, you're hitting it at the right time. Right?
Yeah, of course.
Because with, you know, say ES3 way back, and then ES5 is kind of, if you're not familiar with that, it's what we use today. Mm-hmm. Works in all the browsers. And, you know, you have to, if you want to get good at it, you got to learn prototyping and some of the patterns, like, you know, revealing module pattern, all these patterns to impress your friends and family with.
Sure. I mean, every time I talk about it, like, people fall asleep everywhere.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. It's where my wife goes, why would I care?
Yeah.
And then you're like, why'd you ask?
Yeah. yeah.
But anyway, so the good news is, and that's why, like today, I did this morning an ES6 talk mm-hmm. and threw some TypeScript in as well. Mm-hmm. I think the good thing is that if you are, you know, a C# developer, a Java developer, an object-oriented developer, and you're moving to this world, you're now hitting it at a time where things you know there actually work here. So, for instance, ES6 has classes. Mm-hmm. So if you're used to constructors and properties, and you know, we'll call them methods of mm-hmm. functions. You can do that in this world now.
I see.
You have options. Now, if you're a functional programmer and you're like, you know, because there is this crowd, there's this big, you know, it seems like there was the great semicolon debate of several years
yeah.
ago, and
yeah.
then there's like,
still casualties. You know,
the great my bracket should go up or down in JavaScript right. debate. Now the big debate is, you know, should you do functional programming or should you do classes?
The answer is obviously yes.
Right. And it is. It is. Yeah. It's. I say this way too much, but it's the right tool for the right job.
Sure.
You know, if I have a team and we go in and do a lot of like architecture stuff, mm-hmm. and if I see that they're all C# developers, well, I'm probably going to start them off in something comfortable.
Right.
You know, why am I going to jump right to ES5 prototyping and go, oh, this has nothing to do with what you know, but by the way, you need to know this, you know, and then they're just lost.
Right. So let's start with the landscape, because I think for me, the first time I sort of jumped in, right, Well, let's be honest. I've been using JavaScript since I was like 15 to get the image to roll over. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Image hovers. So we've all been using JavaScript. But now when you're building applications, and I say applications, and I mean in the full sense, you can't just be sloppy.
No.
And the thing about JavaScript is I feel that like there is an inherent sort of freedom to be as sloppy as you like, and it will still work.
I like it. I call it function spaghetti code.
Yeah.
But it's sloppy function spaghetti
code.
Yeah.
So how do we, and then first there's that, and then there's the notion of, so there's now JavaScript on the server.
Yep.
But then there's NPM that does JavaScripty things on the server, but it also brings packages in for JavaScripty things on the client.
Yeah.
So you have this weird separation of client server, and then you have things like Bower, Grunt, Gulp, and all these other things that you're like, okay, I think just from a perspective, from my perspective, I'm just trying to get a sense of where all these things live and which ones I should sort of get onto first. Because, I mean, it's been how many days since the new JavaScript library has come out? I mean,
it's
zero.
Been 5 minutes.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
So, I mean, how do I get a sense for where I should be? And so, what I'm looking to you as a question is, if I'm just getting started now because I have to do JavaScripty type things, how do I just start if I'm a C-sharp or a VB.NET developer?
All right, so if you're, I'm gonna assume C-sharp VB, you're using Visual Studio.
Sure.
Visual Studio has awesome TypeScript support.
Okay.
TypeScript is a superset. In fact, it's by Anders Heilsberg and team.
Yeah.
And so they got a great group of people and the team's actually growing and Jonathan Turner and all those guys. They have a language called TypeScript, if you haven't heard about it, that actually adds types into your JavaScript, but, and we'll maybe show a demo here.
Of course.
The reason I say that's a good place to start is now every project we've done, like we did some work with the Office 365 team not that long ago, two projects actually. And one of them we did ES5, and then the next one, which I did with Andrew Connell, you probably know
of
who
course.
That is.
Yeah, SharePoint guy.
He's awesome. And he's also a big TypeScript lover. And we got done and went, man, that was so much like easier than what we used to use.
Right.
And the reason is exactly what you said. JavaScript feels like it's like herding cats, you know? You're like, Fluffy, get over here.
Yeah.
It's like, doesn't listen.
And now that you got Fluffy, the other one sort of runs
That's
out,
right.
You know?
And if your team doesn't have any type of a style guide or conventions, you know, in ES5, and I joked about the patterns, but they're a big deal. Revealing module pattern, revealing prototype pattern, the prototype pattern. There's all these ways you can structure it to kind of simulate what we would call namespaces, classes, you know, stuff like that in your JavaScript. So you can do it with pure ES5. But if I'm starting today, I'm looking, and we recommend this to every client we start with, I'm looking at TypeScript or even just ES6. Now, because TypeScript sits on top of the foundation of ES6, I'm like, why not go all the way?
Sure.
You know? And then if you want type support, you want some of these other cool things that TypeScript does, interfaces, generics. Whereas a C-sharp developer, you're going, whoa, wait a sec. Interfaces in JavaScript?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, and we could maybe show that. But,
yeah, of course.
So.
But I mean, the thing about you should use TypeScript, it's not just like, hey, Microsoft is pushing TypeScript over the fence.
No.
Like Angular 2.
They're using it.
Which is a Google product.
Yeah. And they're like, it's funny at the conferences because I go to those too.
Sure.
I go to the Microsoft ones and some of the Google ones, and they hang out. Like they'll go have dinner together, the TypeScript guys and the Angular guys, and yeah, I mean they're. It's like I told them hell's freezing over somewhere.
Something's in the water in Redmond, and wherever Google's at in Palo Alto.
It's Microsoft. We just yesterday were talking about this because yesterday we did this ASP.NET 5 workshop, and pretty much all the tools you mentioned.
Yeah.
Are in the next version.
That's why I know what they are.
Of ASP.NET.
Yeah.
Right. And so people go, what the heck, man? We got, like you said, Bower for script.
Gulp.
Gulp for JavaScript task stuff.
NPM.
Node. And you're like, but I don't want to do Node. I just want to write C#. And that's the cool thing, though. Number one, you don't have to use those tools. Mm-hmm. If you want to move to the client side, you could just use TypeScript directly, and they have their own little compiler. You can command line if you want.
Now, is it a compiler or does it transpile?
It's a transpiler, but
I just want to make sure I understood.
It's, depends on, I think from a C# perspective, you can think of it as it takes your, what looks like ES6 code and compiles in quotes.
So before down. Before we get to Typeview, sorry to interrupt you. You mentioned a lot of terms that maybe are unclear. Yep. ES5, ES6, TypeScript.
Yeah.
So ES5 is just JavaScript as we know it now.
Yeah.
What is ES6?
ES6, otherwise known as ES2015, because mm-hmm. it depends on who you talk to there. If you've been doing it a while, you probably call it ES6, and otherwise ES2015, same thing. It is the new version of JavaScript, and it is a massive, massive update. Like the biggest update we've had since, you know, if you think way back to LiveScript, which was before JavaScript.
Wow.
The biggest update we've like ever had with the language, and it adds a tremendous amount of cool new features. Like, you know, we've never had the concept of, we're all used to in the .NET world, namespaces and assemblies, and we get encapsulation sort of out
sure.
of the box. It's almost just part of life.
Right.
Whereas in JavaScript, there's no, that cat's over there and over there and over
you
there.
You have to do some crazy like object dot and then make an object in there and then.
You can do it, but you got to know, then you got to learn the patterns and, you know, and then the whole team.
Weird self-executing function at the end. It's just, yep. it's just yep. interesting thing. And so ES6 is the new version, but one of the concerns that most people have with JavaScript is, if I'm using this JavaScript thing, is it going to work in the browsers?
Exactly. And that's the whole transpilation you mentioned,
yeah.
right? So no, TypeScript's not going to work right in the browser. ES6 isn't. In fact, there's up on GitHub, there's a, what's it called, Cantex, I think it is, site on GitHub. And they have a table where, you know, green, red, green, 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 right. red, 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 of all the holes of all the browsers. In fact, Edge, oddly enough, is kind of the leader of that right now. Of the some of the ES6 features uh-huh. as of, I don't know, a couple weeks ago.
So ES6 isn't supported all across the browsers at all?
Certain feature, well, number one, across all browsers, definitely not.
Okay.
Because you got all the mobile.
Right.
Now, when you look at the latest Chrome, the latest, you know, Firefox, the latest Edge, a lot of the cool features are now supported, but you can't count on it. So it's like, what do you do? And that's where the transpilation comes
from
in.
From TypeScript.
Or even ES6, you could use, you know, a tracer, is a transpiler.
Okay.
Babel is my favorite.
Okay.
It's a transpiler. But again, I'm like, why not just go all the way? And I like interfaces in certain cases.
Sure.
I like generics. Why not get type support and do it all?
So you mentioned some things, right, that to me seem like the difference between ES6 and TypeScript. Could you be a little bit more concrete about what those differences are? Like,
yeah.
What is it in TypeScript that you have that's just not going to be there in ES6?
Yeah. So just to reiterate one more time, it's a superset.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing I love about TypeScript is, you know, you got languages like CoffeeScript.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not against it, but I was never a fan. I never built any apps with it. It's not because I don't like it. It's kind of cool, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this totally different language, right? And then it generates JavaScript. And it just, I don't know, it never felt right to me. So if I wanted to take your ES5, plug it into my whatever it is, you can't. You know,
of course.
You'd have to hack it in somehow. So TypeScript, to get back to your question here, is number one, it's a superset. So, and I could literally take your ES5 code, plug it into a .ts file for TypeScript, and it just works.
So my image hover rollover is still going to work.
It's still good.
Nice.
You're all good, man. You don't have to relearn that concept.
Nice.
Thank goodness, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
You put a lot of work into
it. I did.
A lot of copy and paste off the web, probably,
that's
right?
That's right.
and so anyway, so you get the core ES6 features. Now, does it support every single ES6? They're adding more and more every TypeScript release. But okay. let's just say that all the stuff I care about is now in there.
Okay.
Modules is in there. Classes is in there. Destructuring, all this cool stuff. Now, to get to your question, type support. There's a name. There's a reason it's called TypeScript.
Sure.
you have four core ones and then some kind of ancillary ones. You got, you know, strings, numbers, arrays. What am I forgetting? And one more. Strings, numbers, array, booleans.
Okay, of course.
Booleans, yeah. And then you have like any and null. Any means it could be anything.
Sure.
It's like, that's almost like a variant of the old days.
Oh, I see.
You know, something like that. And so so you get type support. Interfaces. Now, this is cool because in JavaScript, a lot of times you're going to say, hey, Dan, pass me this like settings object. And, you know, hopefully you have docs, but, you know. You know how that goes,
yeah.
Especially if it's open source.
Like, what if you put like a lowercase where you should have put an uppercase?
Exactly.
You're pretty much hosed.
You got to go look at the source code, and now you're wasting time. And so, TypeScript supports interfaces so that you could write your constructor, let's say, as an interface. It takes an interface. Now, you might go, if you're looked into JavaScript at all, and go, wait a second, JavaScript doesn't support interfaces. How's that going to work? It's purely design time. right? So as I'm coding like in Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code, mm-hmm. or even like WebStorm supports it very well, I'll actually get little red squigglies if I screw it up, because you know, if I'm supposed to pass you name and city,
sure.
I pass you name and address, it's gonna go, whoa, I don't know what address is. And in normal JavaScript, how do you catch that?
You don't. I mean, you
write a unit test and hope.
Pretty much what's gonna happen is you're gonna hit the F12 things in Chrome or Edge, and you're just gonna see a little like, look at all these errors that happened, mm-hmm. but you're not gonna really know that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's get into it. We've talked a lot about TypeScript. Let's get into maybe a little demo of how TypeScript works and how you can start thinking about it. So where are we at right now?
So right now we went to typescriptlang.org, and this is kind of the home site for TypeScript. And it has a really nice playground, so I clicked on play here. And so just to kind of show you first off, let's just start with, I always do a really simple one to start off.
And this is just regular JavaScript.
So this is regular JavaScript, but it's a TypeScript file. So this would be a TS file.
Sure.
When you transpile it, this is what it would output.
Which is exactly the same.
Exactly, because it's just JavaScript.
Sure.
And this is why I could take your lovely image rollover that you invested hours of
your
time in.
Hours of my 16-year-old life.
Oh, yeah. The good old days.
Yeah.
And, we could return X plus Y, and you go, okay, there's nothing cool there. Yes, you're right.
Well, here's the thing, with JavaScript, like this could mean like 1,000 different things.
That's
you might put Seth and X and 2 and Y, and then who knows
Let's do it. Let's do result equals add 1 and Seth. And is that going to work? Absolutely.
Of course.
It'll shove it together. I mean, we can even do an alert here real quick. Everybody loves alerts.
That's right.
There's a little run button. You can run it and. And it's a little small there, but
one Seth.
So you get the idea. Now that's not cool, though.
No, it's not what we were intending.
So yeah. So let's do this. Let's now use everything we just did there is just ES5. I mean, that's not even ES6. And let's decorate a little bit here with some types. So these are built in. So you put a colon, and I'll have to admit I get what I call language dyslexic. So I'll do like this. You know.
Oh yeah, of course.
C sharp. In fact, in my presentation, I started to today, I went, reversal.
Whoops.
But, do this, and now it should, it hasn't caught up yet, apparently. Normally, you'll get a little red thing right here.
Sure.
I don't know why it's not giving us that.
It might be because our internet is weird,
That's true. Yeah, it might be. So we'll do Dan and Seth or something like that. Well, normally you'll get a little red there.
Well, there's a little red over there to the side.
Yeah, that's not what I was wanting, but it might be because our internet was,
sure.
we struggled.
Yeah, but traditionally you'd see like a little squiggle down there that says this is wrong.
Yeah, because you're saying it's a number, and obviously I did not pass a number into here. So, that's cool. But then now we're kind of herding cats again because, there's this function and this function and this function and there's no container. So one of the new things in ES6, which TypeScript supports, is we could make, a calculator.
Mm-hmm.
And in there I can have an add. And what's kind of weird is you don't put function now if it's in a class. So this is a new ES6 thing. And then Y number, same thing. I should have just copy and pasted that. That was a poor example of copy paste. But anyway. All right. Now down here, we can come in and new this up just like a C# object. I mean, in fact, since we can use var and C# for type inference, it's the same thing. We could say, calc equals new calculator, and then calc dot, and there's my add, and I should get IntelliSense here.
There you go.
And, it takes a number. Let's try one more time, because it should have, give me an error here. Okay, yeah, something's going on.
Yeah.
I must not have loaded the whole thing when we tried to get the internet. But, yeah, normally you'll get an error there. And 1 plus 1 is hopefully 2, and that would return the result. You can even have constructors in here. I don't know what you'd pass to a calculator, but maybe an operator or something, maybe add.
Or maybe like the DOM or something.
Or a DOM element, there you go. In fact, that's a good example. Let's say that we pass in a div where it updates the output, and you can even type that. See all these?
Wow.
These are all kind of your HTML DOM stuff built into TypeScript. You don't have to use them. If I just want to pass it in as is, great.
Sure.
But we could do an HTML element. There is one for a div, I think, too, but it doesn't matter in this case. An element will work. And then, maybe down here, instead of returning it, You know, we capture it, and then maybe we could say, well, I'd have to store this somewhere, so let's finish it up, I guess. So what you do is you'll make kind of like a field, and I don't know, I'll just call it div, and it's an HTML element. And then down here, we just assign it.
Div, yeah.
And there's even a shortcut, which is freaking awesome. If I put public right here, you don't even have to put that or that. It'll auto do it.
Oh, that's cool.
Or private, either way. And so now, you know, down in here, maybe we say something like div.innerHTML, I don't know,
is
result or something like that. You know, play around with it. But then in here, we could pass, you know, our div.
This.
ID. Yeah, whatever. Document, query selector, whatever.
Sure.
Get element by ID. You get the idea. So that's one part that's really cool is that, number one, I can leverage ES6 features. Now, look what's output, though.
It's regular JavaScript.
Yep. And it's really close to what I would have written anyway. They're being very efficient. They're applying the add to the prototype of the calculator, so it's not duplicated in memory and, you know, all these efficiencies are being done. So yeah, it's super cool. And then I can even do more. I mean, you can do just a really quick, I won't necessarily use it, but there's even an interface keyword. You know, maybe you have an I don't know, adder or something. And then you could put in methods, you can put in properties, you can make an optional, you can do all kinds of cool stuff. Then I can type certain things as an interface. I could leverage polymorphic behavior and same stuff we do in C sharp. Generics, and we could go on, and I know we don't have time to, but...
But it will literally create JavaScript. Once you transpile, it'll create JavaScript that will work on any browser.
Yeah, this, in a little bit, I'll be giving a talk on Angular 2, and just as an example, all my code in this project is TypeScript. All right, so all this code, this customer's component, this is Angular 2 code, but it's actually TypeScript. In fact, you can kind of see... there's public and private and all this fun stuff. So this, when it gets transpiled, yeah, it's going to go to a different ES5 format that's going to run in any browser.
I see.
And so you can write, the way I like to look at it, my elevator pitch is modern code, even future code today, but yet I can still target the old browsers. And I'll give you one last example on that. Everybody loves async await.
Sure.
C sharp. Well, supposedly, the next version of ES7 or whatever they're going to call it is going to have async await support, and that eliminates just all kinds of junk in JavaScript because we always have, you know, callbacks.
Yeah, tons of callbacks, yeah.
Well, TypeScript 1.7 is currently, they have a nice published roadmap from the team, and they're currently listing that as a feature. And so even though async await will not be out there in the wild, you'll be able to write it, and then it'll transpile down to the non-async await.
Yeah, and the thing that maybe you don't know, and there's a video on Channel 9 I did with Etienne Badeau where he actually showed me the async await.
Oh, nice. I'll have to watch that.
He also showed me their async await implementation in Edge.
Ah.
What's happening is when they call async, there's a special function that they wrote, and this special function calls in the native C++ code.
So it's going to be super quick.
So it's super quick, the implementation in Edge. And I didn't realize this, right, because... Once I started looking at sort of the callback stuff, it was like the stuff we were running into with Silverlight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
it's like callback hell.
Yeah, and so now with async await, you can get rid of that.
Yep.
But imagine async await in JavaScript, which is kind of cool.
It'll really, because let's face it, we're all doing like Ajax calls or WebSockets or whatever. Sure. And yeah, you get all callback, and then you get the, you know, what we call pyramid of doom. Because you nest a callback, a nest. Before you know it, you're like off the screen.
Yeah, and not only that, but how do you do error checking, or how do you
do
anything like that?
It's hard. Yeah. So anyway.
So that's cool stuff. So I'm looking at this project. This is an Angular 2 project, and maybe we can start talking about Angular. One of the problems I have, particularly with JavaScript things, even with TypeScript, is how do I organize my project? I mean, it was pretty specific on how you would do that in a C# project, for example.
Yeah, so what I'll say in this project, this is currently, in fact, we just heard last night that beta 0.0 is now on NPM of this. Since I have a talk in about 30 minutes, I am not going to upgrade.
Don't do it. No.
To beta 0.
It's like tempting the demo gods too much.
Not
going to
happen, because this works.
Yeah.
And so, You know, in Angular 1, yeah, I have a very specific way I organize. And it's usually by feature. So I'll set up feature folders. Like I have an orders feature, I have a, you know, invoice feature, and I'll set it up. In Angular 2, I'll show you what I did, but I don't know that I'm going to go with this yet because it's not out. It's still a little bit in flux, you know. And so
that feature way of separating thing is very Jimmy Bogart-esque. He very much loves that way of doing
it. It's popular. Yeah. It's popular. So, you know, as an example, what I'm doing now, Angular 2 is very componentized.
Okay.
And so instead of having, you know, in Angular 1, it was all about views and controllers. And, you know, then you can organize by feature. But you'll see like this component. And by the way, you know, as a C-sharp developer, this is like attribute. You know, it's the same thing. It's metadata, and TypeScript supports this. So
I see. So I was going to ask you what that was. So this is actually like a attribute on the customer component class.
Yeah. So check out my class and see if you. I mean, I'll scan kind of quick, but see if you see a single thing that looks Angular-ish, and you won't find it.
No.
It's just code, which is awesome. Right, so you can focus. So what they did is they wanted to put the metadata and decorate, and they call them annotations or decorators, but we would call them attributes in C#, right? And it's cool. So yeah, this is, so the tag you would use to run this guy would be a customer's tag. This is for data DI, dependency injection.
Sure.
You know, here's my template. This is almost, if you're coming from a web forms world, I guess you could think of this as like the code behind.
Yeah.
These are some directives I'm using in the app. And then this one I actually don't need, but I'm not taking it out for my demo.
Sure.
They just recently added a currency converter.
Got it.
But I had a custom one, so that's why that's in there. But yeah, what I'm doing right now is kind of feature-based by component. So I have like the root app right here, customers, you know, we have a filter text box and all that. And let's tempt fate here because I got to run this anyway. So we might as well see if I can get this to load real fast. And it's not like the world's most, it's a Angular 2 starter, I call it. So I think, well, actually, I'm going to run npm start on this one. And it should load up just a little, I'm in responsive kind of mode here because of the resolution. But if we, zoom out and probably have to refresh. Usually it shows the boxes. I don't know why it's going in that mode. Hopefully that's just because I'm HDMI'd in.
Sure.
But it has a couple views. Yeah, it looks like crap actually. But
let's be honest.
Let's hope the projector doesn't do this.
Let's be honest. I mean, even if it does look like crap, as a dev, when I'm looking at it, this is significant functionality. I mean, this is not.
Yeah, it does. It's a cool little demo app. Mm-hmm. You know, normally it has boxes across. It's being responsive, and I don't know why. But anyway, so this is what the code. Let me kind of kill this guy real quick. This is what the code is actually running. Now, I'm in Visual Studio Code.
Of course.
But you could do this in Visual Studio as well. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was a WebStorm fan, and I still love WebStorm, but man, I really love Visual Studio Code.
It takes away almost all of the cruft.
It's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So if you haven't tried it, I'm telling you, it's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Anyway, yeah, so every component in here is organized kind of by the feature of the component. I have a couple custom, you know, it's a starter project, so I have custom directives, little filtering, stuff like that. But what's cool about it is I think a C# developer would look through this and go, wow, that's really close what I do.
Like I even saw enum all the way at
yeah,
the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, there's even enums and there's a const enum and there's all these. Yeah. Yeah. It's impressive. So I just had a guy I mentioned right after my ES6 TypeScript talk come up, and he's the guy I mentioned that said, hey, you know, we got this team of C# devs, but we just inherited, as he put it,
I see.
An Angular team who has zero backend. They're all front end.
Wow.
And he's like, what do we do? And I'm like,
team dinner, man.
Yeah. And so, you know, they're pushing for their own editors. And my take on is use whatever editor you want. Who cares? I think what matters is, as you just kind of asked about, you know, come up with what's your style for organizing these things. How are you going to organize your folders, your source control? But getting way back to your question of what does a C# developer do? I think if you start with TypeScript, you're going to get a massive jump start, you know. versus jumping right to all this JavaScript stuff that you're going, this doesn't look like what I do.
I see. All right, so let's talk about Angular. Angular is pretty popular right now, at least the 1.0. When we're going to the 2, it's not like they're adding two things and making things faster. It's a serious jump.
It's different. They, in my opinion, because I am helping with some of the docs and stuff with this, Ward and John Papa and some of the others that were all Microsoft folks mostly, but we're helping out with some of the docs on this. I think if in a year they would have kept going down the Angular road and left it as ES5, they would have been considered the caveman framework, because all the other libraries or frameworks have announced already that they're moving to ES6, they're doing this and this. So they kind of had to make a choice. Do we go with something that literally is about 5 years old now? And I think ASP.NET was in the same mode, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was, what are we at, 13 years almost, something like that? Mm-hmm. And it's, as Scott Hanselman likes to say, it's conceptual compatibility. And Angular is kind of the same way, like similar concepts. For instance, this component here, customer's component, a lot of people would call that a controller. It's not. It's just a component. It's just a class. Mm-hmm. But you know, here's the backing template up here for it, right there. This customer's component HTML. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, long story short on that, they had to make a decision, which was a hard decision, I know, because we were on some email threads of, what do we do? You know, do we stick with what we got and keep everybody happy 100%, and then make the people that want to jump forward mad? Or do we go ahead and just bite the bullet and build a really modern framework that targets modern, you know, cutting edge, what Edge can do, what Chrome can do, because they couldn't leverage that before. I mean, 5 years ago?
It didn't exist.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, things change maybe, like you said, we probably have about 10 frameworks released since we've been talking.
I almost started writing my own JavaScript framework.
While we were talking, yeah. So anyway, yeah, it is different. I'll have to admit, I was one, John, Ward, you know, we hang out all the time, and we were all kind of like, man, I don't know, you know, the new direction. Mm-hmm. Now that it's finally stabilizing and coming together, though, I think it's much more like writing, it's like a mini me version of .NET-like for the client.
Interesting.
Because you'll see at the top, all these imports, for instance. This is all ES6 module support. Well, in .NET, it's kind of like a using slash reference
combo. I mean, it just makes
combo.
Sense to me. It just feels like, oh, these concepts to me resonate, you know, because of what I obviously worked on before. But it just feels like there's different sugar over it.
It is. It is. And, you know, not everybody's going to agree. There's other frameworks. There's this week at the conference, you know, like Aurelia is really cool.
That's another one. We're going to have him on a little bit later to explain Aurelia.
You know, and he even worked on this. And I like Aurelia. I'm not one of those that, you know, you get these religious battles. Yeah. Like, your framework sucks, and you should use this. And nah.
It's just whatever makes you happy.
It's whatever makes you happy.
And as long as you put it on Azure, too. I mean, we're...
As long as you put it on Azure, right. Which, you know, you would never even want to consider the other options.
There is no other option.
What options? Yeah. So, you know, I think like Aurelia probably, in my opinion, is simpler to get started with, actually, right now. Keep in mind, this is still like cutting edge.
It's still a nebulous system.
Yeah. They've now getting where they're almost stable, and now they can start to make things easier.
Sure.
They've already done that. We used to have another component called @view here, and that's where template URL, and well, that used to go there, and what else? Directives used to go there.
Cool.
And they now consolidated that because they realized that, you know, it's too much fluffy stuff on top.
Yeah.
So, you know, excuse me, and they have even more that they're going to do as well. So, I like the direction it's going, and I think people used to a framework will like the direction.
I see.
If you're just a jQuery, yeah, there's a lot to learn. Now you got to learn about module imports and TypeScript.
Well, the thing about it is, like, you can be... And I learned this like a couple of years ago. I don't know how many years ago it was, but I noticed that there was this sort of dichotomy in JavaScript frameworks where you had your kitchen sink frameworks.
Yeah.
And then you had your knockouts and your jQueries, where you would literally just pick a couple of things and then put your stuff
pull them in.
But now the frameworks seem to be going the way of the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
Would you say that's a fair assessment? I mean, I don't make stuff. I make demoware. You're the one that makes stuff.
Well, I don't write the frameworks either, right. I feel like it's more like a buffet line.
Right.
Rather than the kitchen sink. You selectively pull in up here in these imports what you want up here. Mm-hmm. You don't have to use, there's a piece of code I can get rid of. I'm pulling in Vue right now. Actually, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. That's the old thing I was telling you about, and I just haven't refactored that out yet, apparently. So anyway, they are making it kind of like in .NET where you don't want to use like list of T. Okay, fine. Don't import system.collections.
Right.
You know, or generic collections.generic. You don't want to use, you know, IO stuff, fine. Don't import that.
But would it be advisable to inject in, and I'm spitballing because I haven't used it. I'd love to see how this stuff works. Is it advisable to say there's like some pseudo, some other library like Knockout, bad example in this case, but that I want to use in Angular 2? Is that something you can do or should
you? Could, absolutely. In fact, in Angular 2, they're going to make it even easier. Now, for me, I probably won't need to. And it's not because I don't say that because I'm so good.
Right.
It's because, like in Angular 1, a lot of people will pull in jQuery because they think they need it.
Yeah.
But they don't.
There was a cool website that says, do you really need jQuery? I don't remember what the site was.
Yeah.
But you would write something in jQuery and it would show you you could just write these two lines.
The vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. When in Angular, it's just because they have a little mini-me version called jQlite and you don't really need it. Now, that's not to say that, let's say you're phenomenal, image rollover?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
Say you package it up in a jQuery plugin and it's just way too much code to write to convert it over here to Angular. Close my low battery. Mm-hmm. And you're like, nope, not going to do it. Right. Well, then fine. Then load jQuery, load Angular, and use the plugin like you want.
Okay.
So you can absolutely do that. You're not forced down one road. Now, like Knockout, I don't know that I have much use in this scenario because this already does the data
binding. Yeah, that's why I knew saying is a bad example.
Yeah, but
any other type of thing, like my...
Absolutely.
By the way, if you need a library for image rollover, it's not a good not a good idea. So let's...
That's the master of image rollover.
No, I'm just saying. It's literally the dumbest thing you could ever do in JavaScript. So let's move on now to finish up. ASP.NET version 5, MVC 6, and I keep saying these things to remind myself of the
versions. Yeah, I know.
it's a big departure.
Yeah.
I was speaking with Javier Lozano, you know him. Mm-hmm. He said that the ASP 3 Classic to ASP.NET jump was smaller than the ASP.NET jump to the ASP.NET version 5 jump. That's his assessment.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if in one aspect of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that big, but hey, I like Javier's awesome. So
he is.
So whatever he says, man, I'm going.
Yeah, I know. I usually go with
him. He's a cool guy.
So what's the jump like for you? What do you think about it?
So the biggest jump for me, now keep in mind, I already done, because they do embed Bower, NPM,
yeah.
Node, I'm missing.
Gulp.
Gulp, thank you, and Gulp. And, you know, I'd already done those, so that was no big deal. Now, maybe he's talking about some of that.
Yeah.
Because as a .NET developer, if you've never done that before, you're like, what the?
What is this?
Right. And we had, yesterday at the workshop, we had a whole section, an hour and a half, just on those.
What are these things?
Yeah.
Because they're very similar.
Yeah.
Grunt and Gulp. Grunt is I might be showing, my...
No. So far, you're doing good.
But Grunt feels like an older variation of what Gulp is, because Gulp uses more functions than Grunt uses more like a sort of setup
type, JSON, yeah. JSON syntax, yeah.
And so Grunt and Gulp to me in my brain is like, same thing, use Gulp because it's newer. I don't know if that's the right way to think about it.
It is.
Okay.
It is. Well, yes. I won't be real shy that I'm not a fan of Grunt. So.
And Grunt served its purpose in that, look. We write stuff all the time, right? And then you realize a year later, maybe we should have done this.
Yeah.
And you have large frameworks such as Angular admitting that.
Yeah.
And large frameworks such as ASP.NET.
Yeah.
Admitting that.
Yeah.
Large frameworks such as Entity Framework admitting that.
Yeah.
And so it feels like things have changed so dramatically for us that there needed to be a break and a clean jump.
And having done a lot of Node, because I mentioned when we started that we also kind of live in both worlds, my favorite thing about ASP.NET 5, MVC 6, is that it feels like what I did in Node. And so I'm like, hey, this is cool. Like, this is what I already know.
Yeah.
Now, that's why jump-wise, probably it wasn't as bad.
Okay.
I'll tell you the biggest jump, though, is, in my opinion, you don't have to use Bower, Gulp,
no.
NPM, you know, all that. That it's in there. It's built in out of the box. But you by no means have to use it. Should you use it? Yeah, probably. But
yeah.
You don't have to. Maybe you don't want to get your scripts through Bower. You want to... you know, just manually hard code them or something.
Sure. Like,
fine, go for it. Okay, but the stuff that matters, because that stuff's cool, but that's tooling,
yeah.
Right? That's just productivity, and, you know, who cares about productivity?
Not us. Not when we're billing by the hour, of course.
Right. Any clients watching this, that's not true.
We were just kidding.
We're just kidding. Yeah. Anyway, there's a startup JS, sorry, we got to switch topics. Startup CS file, and I think the coolest things are, number one, you have total control over your config. So you can build up config. There's no more like web config transforms. Because I don't really know anyone I've ever met who went, those are my favorite things in the world. You know?
I'll be honest, I'm still trying to figure those things out.
I'm with
so
you.
Glad I don't have to
I'm
anymore.
With you. I mean, I did XPath back in like 99.
I literally did XPath down like in 2001.
Yeah. So, you know, they work and they get the job done today. But now it'll work almost like CSS where... I'll load your like production, they just changed the name. It was config.js, and now they're calling it appsettings.js in the beta 8. And you'll load that first, but then if you have a development version, then it loads. And if it has the same settings, guess who wins? It overrides.
Right.
Then you load environment variables. And if they have the same key, they override. And so now it's like super easy when you just don't copy your development one over to production. And
oh my goodness.
Boom, you no longer have to worry about all that crap.
I didn't even realize that. Because I remember the app settings. Well, I don't know what it was called before. It was a config.json or something.
Yeah.
Is that the same
thing? Yeah, that's the same one. It's appsettings.json now.
Okay. Yeah. And so now you can sort of layer these like CSS so that when you're deploying stuff on your build command or when you push, you can totally just ignore that file.
Totally.
Oh, that's so nice.
So much. I mean, it's like, you know, it's one of those things you go, man, why didn't they think of that like 10 years ago?
Yeah, I know. Well, here
but
we are.
But here we are, yeah.
So the other thing that's interesting to me is that there is this new pipeline, middleware pipeline in ASP.NET version 5.
Which is freaking awesome.
Which is very Owen-esque. In fact, I think that was the inspiration.
It's inspired by that.
Why don't you explain to us a little bit what this is and how we should think about it?
So the startup CS, to back up to that, for those that are new to this, you get a constructor for your config.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a configure services, which I'll circle back to. Mm-hmm. That's dependency injection, and that's built in. Then you have your configure, and that is your middleware.
Uh-huh.
Now, we're used to this. We just didn't really call it this, and it wasn't nearly as easy to write in the old days. We had modules, right? And so, you know, if you've been doing web forms for very long, you probably have either tweaked a module or written one, or and it's a pipeline. So a request comes in. And imagine just a pipe with, like, let's just pretend it's dirty water.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you have these little middleware pieces. I don't want to call it filter because that is a term in MVC, but a middleware component. It does something to that. Maybe it takes out all the chloride.
Yeah.
Moves on to the next middleware. It takes out all the whatever. So in our terms, the first one might do logging. The second one might look for a bearer token.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't find it, rejects it.
Sure.
So middleware goes both ways. When it comes in, the middleware gets hit and you can do something.
Mm-hmm.
And when it goes back, it gets hit.
And you can do
something. And what's cool about it is the order matters. So
of course.
If, you know, I put a reject everything middleware first, I just rejected everything.
Nothing else. Pipeline stops.
Yeah, it's like shutting off the valve, you know. Whereas if I put that at the end, well, that probably means nothing else happened. And now I want to send them off to the you're in no man's land air page with, you know, a cute puppy on it or
Sure.
something.
And that's interesting because, I mean, you could start to introduce things into the pipeline to, like, for example, clean up input.
For sure.
You could even make your own middleware to do stuff.
Absolutely.
In fact,
the Glimpse, which is now part of Microsoft.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Anthony real quick for my last talk, and it sounds like they're doing all kinds of cool stuff with that.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have him on hopefully tomorrow or something so we can talk a little bit more about that. And even, like, I was talking to Javier, and Javier said, yeah, even to serve static files, which is something that, like, you always think you should do, which if you're in a web API sort of setting, you don't.
Right.
He's saying you have to tell it to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start with a blank project, it literally does nothing.
You literally, the way I like to think of it, if you've ever been in like a, either a really fancy house or like a, well, right there, they can't see it, but right. that all those switches on the wall, right. you guys can't see them, but there's a ton of switches with little green lights. Mm-hmm. Everything's off. And then I go, I want static files. Or if I'm doing web API, I don't want static files. Yeah. I want this, I want this. And static files are a little weird because IIS will do static files, it turns out, by default. I turned that off and they still worked. I went, what?
Uh-oh.
But it was because IIS.
Sure.
But if you self-host, yeah, it'll turn them off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. So now, whereas before it was like the whole thing was on the store, the whole store is open by default. Now, like, you literally got to write the code to unlock the front door, which sounds like, oh, I got to write more code. No, not really, because if you go with the default template they have,
it's already in there.
Yeah, all the key stuff's in there.
Right. All right, so we've done a little whirlwind tour of JavaScript-y type things. We talked about ES5, ES6, TypeScript.
Yep.
We went into Angular 1, Angular 2. We did a smidge on Aurelia, but we'll leave Rob.
Yeah, Eisenberg, Rob's the expert. He's the master.
And then we got into ASP.NET version 5. It seems like it's a really interesting time to be a web developer.
Yeah.
So any parting words or anything you could point us to that we can go and learn more?
Well, first off, if you're feeling bored, you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there.
There's no way to be bored.
Yeah.
If you are interested in the things we talked about, I have a ton of samples. It's github.com/DanWalling.
Okay, I'll put it in the notes below.
Tons of, there's TypeScript, there's ES6, there's Angular 2, Angular 1, Angular 2 with TypeScript, Angular 2 without. I mean, all kinds of stuff, combinations. There's a full, I just released a full ASP.NET project, actually.
Oh, nice.
It's one we did for Microsoft like 4 years ago.
Okay, which one was it?
It's called Account at a Glance.
Okay, cool.
And it's up there. I've already had a couple pull requests yesterday, actually, so that was cool.
Fantastic.
But anyway, I would, you can't, I research a lot of studies about productivity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pretty much the general consensus is there's no such thing as multitasking.
Yeah.
You got to focus. Mm-hmm. So I think when it comes to learning, I would pick, okay, what am I going to focus on first? If I'm doing server-side rendering stuff, for instance, and that's most of my app, then I'm probably going to jump over to ASP.NET 5, MVC6, and maybe focus there. If I'm doing more SPA, then now I got to make a decision which SPA framework. I mean, sure. For me, Angular's where my skills are right now. Mm-hmm. I like Aurelia too, so you know it's a little tougher decision. But
you're more like just pick one.
Yeah, pick one and go with it, but don't do both at the same time to start.
I see.
Because that's then you got to learn TypeScript and you got to learn this.
Yeah.
So pick something, get decent at that. Then move on, and it is a big jump, but I'm telling you, if I can do it, anybody can do it. So
I don't know about that. I'm still trying. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us, bud.
Thank you.
How are you liking Dev Intersections, by the way?
It's been awesome.
Have you been to a lot of them?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, since the old days when it was a different conference.
Dev Connections, is what it was called. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for watching, and we're in Las Vegas for Dev Intersection, and we will see you next time. Take care.